This is Cameron Chai from Azone Nano, and today I'm speaking to Ephraim Honig from Strem Chemicals. How are you today, Ephraim?
Great, thank you.
So, Strem Chemicals, for anybody who's not familiar with your business, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Yes, sure. Well, Strem Chemicals was established in 1964. We're based in Newburyport, Massachusetts in the United States. We are a privately held manufacturer and marketer of specialty chemicals of high purity for research, development, and production. Our key products are things like catalysts, ligands, organometallics, metal carbonyls, and of course, nanomaterials. We have about 4,000 products. And they're used particularly in the pharmaceutical industry, microelectronics industry, chemicals and petrochemical industries. And we also do some custom synthesis work, process development, and cGMP manufacturing for the pharma industry.
And even though you guys are based in the U.S., you sell all over the world?
Yes, certainly. We are a U.S.-based corporation, but we have a European headquarters in France. And because of the nature of research and development, it's a global industry. Our customer base is literally everywhere that research is conducted. So we serve all of the universities all over the world. We serve research institutes and then commercial companies as well.
And how did Strem get into the business of providing nanomaterials?
Well, it's an interesting story. You know, of course, nano became very hot several years ago. And since our customer base is a research customer base, we heard about it quite early on. We actually began manufacturing activities in nano in 2004 when we licensed some technology developed by Professor Dr. Bannemann, who was at that time at the Max Planck Institute in Germany. Now, the interesting thing with this technology is that it allowed us to manufacture a variety of metal-based nanoparticles, including things like colloids and magnetic fluids. There's also an interesting personal story with our entry into nanomaterials, and that is that we used the first product that we ever sold commercially, cobalt carbonyl, which we introduced in 1964. We used that material as a raw material to make Strem's very first nano product, which we made 40 years later. And that, of course, was cobalt nanoparticles, and that was made by the thermal decomposition of cobalt carbonyl. So kind of a nice internal personal success for us when we took our first product and introduced our first nano product. So, you know, today we have, you know, out of the 4,000 research and development products that we offer, about 70 of them are nanomaterials. And these are nanomaterials of many transition metals, also precious metals. And in addition to metals, we have, of course, metal oxides and mixed metal oxides also. And some of these nanomaterials are really, they're magnetic fluids. We offer them in a variety of different sizes, ranging from, you know, 1 nanometer and small up to 90. We also have a variety of different shapes. So we have nanospheres, we have rods, we have sheets, we have stars, we have necklaces. Almost sounds like a design company, but we're really a chemical company. And in addition to these various metallic-based nanomaterials, we also have some carbon-based nanomaterials, including carbon nanotubes. So that kind of gives you an overview of the range of nanoproducts that we carry.
Okay, and you guys obviously have a fairly big commitment now to pushing your business in the direction of nano. You recently expanded your efforts there and established a new laboratory in Europe. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, that's correct. Well, you know, as I said, as a U.S.-based company established in 1964, this is where our roots are. But more than 20 years ago, we established a European facility in France. And so logical progression to our initial foray into nano in 2004 in the U.S. was to then also open up a European effort. So at the end of 2008, we opened up our nanochemistry laboratory at the Institut de Sciences et d'Ingénierie Supermoléculaire. That's a mouthful. In short, we just like to call it the ISIS lab. And that's located at the University of Strasbourg in France. And of course, Our European headquarters is in Bischheim, France, which is not very far from the University of Strasbourg. That laboratory is headed by Dr. Nina Matusevich. She is a very experienced nanochemist and has a lot of expertise, specifically also in the area of nanomagnetic fluids. So the objective here is that Dr. Matusevich's lab is going to work closely, of course, with the U.S.-based lab. And we are now also working closely with Professor Dr. Helmut Bonnemann, who has now become a STREM consultant. There are some differences between the U.S. lab and the European lab. You know, the U.S. lab is doing both manufacturing and some product development. The more focused goal of the European lab is really to serve the R&D groups working in nano, really with custom-made nanostructured materials. So while the STREM catalog has some standard products and some standard nano products, the European facility will focus on really tailoring and tweaking the offering that we have for the specific applications of the R&D scientists worldwide. So we may be looking at things like core shell structures. We may be putting on linkers. We will use different kinds of surface coatings, really depending on the customer's specific need. And of course, this work is conducted under a secrecy agreement. And so we're excited that this activity started at the end of 2008.
Now, you said you've currently got about 70 nano products, and you're obviously adding to that constantly. What are some of the newer products that you've recently added?
Now, if we look at some very specific products that we have added recently, one that comes to mind is through our collaboration with BASF. Now, BASF is the world's largest chemical company. There are many, many different things going on there. But in the area of nanocatalysts, they chose to work collaboratively with STREM. And that's because of our long history and experience in the area of catalysis. Now, BASF has developed what they call the NanoSelect technology platform. It is an eco-friendly alternative platform to conventional catalysts. And what this technology allows for is the unimodal deposition of nanoparticles, catalytic nanoparticles. And of course, because they are nanoparticles, they have significantly increased surface area compared to some other catalysts, and that is one thing that has helped to boost its activity. Now, within this particular platform, we have added the NanoSelect LF palladium catalyst, and this family of catalysts has a significantly lower loading of palladium, so typical loading is 0.5 to 0.6 weight percent. The other interesting thing is that this LF series is lead-free, hence the LF, and the palladium crystallites are about 7 nanometers in size on the catalyst support. And the interesting thing is that these particular catalysts provide for similar activity and selectivity performance to conventional Lindlar catalysts. Now, typical Lindlar catalyst will have something on the order of 5 weight percent palladium, and also it has lead. Now, lead is not very friendly. It's a heavy metal. It's toxic. And so this is highly undesirable, and it restricts the manufacturing and the use of traditional Lindlar catalysts because of course, increasing regulations and just concern because of the heavy metal aspect of this catalyst. So these new nanocatalysts provide for selective hydrogenation of alkynes to alkenes. They're more efficient, they're more eco-friendly, and this is a very exciting development in the area of catalysis. So that's one particular application area. Now, another area that's fairly recent at STREM is the addition of a platelet graphitic nanofiber, or PGNF, or nanofiber for short. This is some technology that we have added in collaboration with a company called Catalyx Nano. And it's very interesting. These particular nanofibers are grown through a patented process that decomposes carbon-containing gases, again, in the presence of a metal catalyst particle. And the particular a catalyst particle that's used for the growth can be removed with an acid wash, leaving a very pure nanofiber. Now, the structure of these particular nanofibers is quite unique. It's essentially a series of graphene planes, which are ordered perpendicular to the growth axis. So if you think about it, if you imagine stacking a bunch of cards, one on top of the other, the individual card is a graphene plane, and then as you stack these cards up, that's what makes up the fiber. Now, the width of the fiber is on the order of 40 to 50 nanometers, but what's really interesting is that they're also very, very long, so 100 to 10,000 nanometers long, or 0.1 to 10 microns. So they have a huge aspect ratio. The other interesting thing about these nanofibers is the spacing between the graphene sheets. It's very small, it's about 0.34 nanometers, and because of this particular distance, and again, thinking about graphite and intercalation, it's been demonstrated that lithium can intercalate in between these graphite sheets. So that has some very interesting potential applications in the battery world. Now again, because of the spacing of these sheets, there are some other interesting applications that these fibers could be used for. One of them is for the purification of water by selective removal of a variety of organic contaminants. So you can imagine that depending on the size of the contaminant, some contaminants will be able to intercalate, again, just like the lithium, into these graphitic nanofibers. So that's an interesting, again, eco-friendly application. Now, again, you know, the whole world is moving in this eco-friendly direction. We're talking about the alternative sources of energy, the hydrogen fuel economy, and that's another potential application for these PGNF graphitic nanofibers. And that's in the area of platinum fuel cell electrodes. On a somewhat more industrial application, again, because these are graphitic in nature, they can be used as a lubricant. We all know about, graphite for, if you're driving in a wintry environment and you can't get your key into your car, you can add a little graphitic lubricant. Well, the interesting thing about a nano graphitic lubricant is that it has potential applications in drilling, as a drilling aid. So with these PGNF fibers, they perform as a better lubricant because, again, you're dealing with pure graphitic structure, but it is also able to maintain its individual particle size and shape, and so provides for enhanced mixing and handling in drilling applications. So this is a very industrial application. The other exciting thing about these nanofibers is that they do have the potential for very low-cost manufacturing because there are many sources of sustainable raw materials that can be used to manufacture these particular fibers. So, you know, thinking about small-scale, high-cost applications versus large-scale, low-cost applications, the technology associated with these nanofibers is really exciting. So that gives you a few specific examples of some products that we've added recently through collaboration with both very, very large company, BASF, and a much smaller company, Catalyx Nano. Now, of course, in addition to technologies that we have licensed in and offered to our customers, we're continuing to develop products ourselves. And, you know, going back to the lab in Europe and applications in nano, and thinking about our first nano product, cobalt, we're also looking now at applications of multimodal nanoparticles. So cobalt is magnetic. There's a lot of activity in nano research using the magnetic characteristics of nanoparticles. We're looking at coating the cobalt with gold. Gold is non-toxic. There's a lot of activity in gold, so we're thinking of combining these two potential benefits into multimodal nanoparticle research and development. So that gives you a kind of a short overview of some of the more recent activities that we're involved with.
So I heard some news that you might be providing or supplying nanochips.
Yes, certainly. The graphitic nanofibers that I just talked about can be converted to nanochips. And if you think about the deck of cards, these cards stacked one above the other, when you heat treat these nanofibers, what happens is that a group of six to eight of the cards that are, you know, one on top of the other will seal on the ends, making a nanochip. So you have a nanochip with 6 to 8 layers, and of course the whole deck of cards now will make a series of chips, one on top of the other. And this is also very interesting because, again, the interlayer distances between these graphene planes remains the same at the 0.34 nanometers. But by going through this heat treatment process, it turns out that these nanochips have some very interesting, unique semiconducting properties, which are sure to find some applications in the microelectronics field.
All right, sounds like you guys are constantly coming up with new nanomaterials, and people should obviously keep an eye on your website, for instance, to see what products are coming out and you're releasing that might be of use to them. And if they wanted to stay in contact with you, where should they go?
Well, the quickest and easiest way to contact us and to get more information about the company and our products is simply to go to our website, www.strem.com. That's S-T-R-E-M. And we've enhanced our website and provided more information specifically about nanomaterials as well as the rest of our products on the website. So there's a lot of technical content there. We have things like material safety data sheets. We have technical notes. We have certificates of analysis. There's also a literature section under the product resources that highlights a variety of different applications, both for the nano-related products and the non-nano-related products. And for any scientist that wants to order a product immediately, they can actually order online. It's very easy to set up a new account. And also just to generate emails from the site directly to us, where we'd be very happy to answer any questions that the audience may have.
All right, Ephraim, that sounds very interesting. And like you said, for anybody out there who might be searching for a nanomaterial, or in particular a nanocatalyst, now know where to go.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Cameron. And we're very happy with our collaboration with AZO Nano.
Thanks very much for your kind words, Ephraim. And we look forward to speaking to you next time.